Oh, is he?
No, he jumped back up again. Just to check. Check how easy it is to get back up in the ladder.
I guess we got there with those lightweight units.
That, I presume, is to make sure you can get back to that first step if you need to in a hurry.
Well, I think it's more to check the ease or the relative difficulty that he might experience later on. It's not a question of checking whether he can get back. If we don't have that confidence, we never should have gone.
Okay.
He's releasing it now. Okay, Houston, the vet is finally clear of the mesa. Al, I'm going to come over. How about getting my antenna out before I lose Tom here in a minute? Okay. Like over at the corner or something. He just dropped his baby over here. Okay.
His antenna is in a stowed position, too.
The mat will be placed on one of the foot pads.
This is the rickshaw, the Met, which you will hear referred to throughout the explorations, excursions to the surface. The rickshaw part.
Hey,
fight.
Stop here a minute. I'll get you in out.
Could you tell whether it was a Capcom or whether it was Al who said something about that's not a big step for an old man?
I missed that. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Who said that?
I don't know.
I missed it.
I don't know whether that was a Capcom or maybe somebody in one of the back rooms.
He's been taking quite a bit of kidding on that. We talked to him about it.
Mesa has been stowed on the plus Y footbed. Roger out.
Al says he wants to be the first astronaut 50 on the moon. Who's 50 on the moon? He'd be happy to be.
And going back to adjust the Mesa.
Well, I think in 3 years our trips to the moon may be over for a while.
We can see one of the men.
Very great under this crushing 1.6G load, Houston.
Ed Mitchell is bouncing around, testing out his moon legs.
Shepard now adjusting the television.
And as you heard, Shepard is adjusting the TV set on the Mesa store.
Looking at Cone Crater, where I was looking a short time ago, it doesn't appear there's going to be any trouble getting the mat up Cone Crater.
There was some concern about being able to take the equipment transport of the Met up to the top of the crater, sort of like climbing a small mountain.
Maybe the troops on the ground would be glad to hear that.
Backup crew here in Mission Control.
Okay, and here comes the lens cap.
The Mesa blanket is coming off you, please.
Oh, Roger, the Mesa blanket.
You'll lose television for a moment.
Al Shepard is moving the TV set. Time for us to remind you that you're listening to the Voice of America's worldwide coverage of the flight of Apollo 14. Astronauts Alan Shepard and Ed Mitchell are now out on the surface of the moon moving around. Shepard has been out for 8 minutes now, almost 9 minutes, and Mitchell has been out for about three.
Now off the Mesa.
In the timeline, we're watching the timeline here. Ed Mitchell was to come out and familiarize himself. They're working on the Mesa, adjusting the TV.
Yeah, it looks like the next activity after they get the Mesa adjusted is to move the television camera out, perhaps 90, 100 feet away from the spacecraft.
That way we'll have a better view of the area in which they're working.
Okay, the lens cap is going on now, Houston. We set up the tripod.
All right, Terry, this is Houston. I request EMU status check here.
While they're giving Houston a status check on their spacesuits and their backpacks, what they have been doing is to put the cover on the television camera during the period that they move it out to its resting place, which will be about 90 to 100 feet to the right front portion of the lunar module.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be able to view the entire LEM should be in the field of view. And it'll also give us a very good view of the S-band antenna because that will be deployed about halfway between the television camera and the lunar module.
Word from Bruce McCandless here on Earth to Al Shepard. He should be about... should have about have finished setting up the television, the color television camera at its new position.
Positioning the television to get a view of the mesa and ladder area on Antares.
Let's see, if I am not wrong here, the sun should be coming from the left of the television camera, about 90 degrees off to the side. We should have some...
Okay, go ahead and pull it up. Oh, okay. Let me get the contingency sample pulled up.
Heard mention of a cable there.
The television being positioned about 50 feet out.
Yes, while Al is walking out with the television camera itself on the tripod, Ed is deploying the cable from a deployment device that's in the mesa that was deployed earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to be very careful walking around the vicinity of this cable because it's very difficult to design something.
We're aiming for the general area of the mesa.
Got a good view now of the LEM taken from
now,
about 100 feet away.
Cable up away from the mesa here.
Yeah, we got about 3 foot zoom. How does that look?
Okay, so, I think you can zoom in a little more. Let's try 40 here.
Oh, he's got a good zoom lens on this camera, too. And see the cable bouncing
okay,
on the surface.
The F-stop, Al. We'd like to stop it down one additional stop. That's toward the higher numbers.
The color TV
okay,
signal coming in again. This is in a very good position.
Okay, hold the zoom there, and the position looks good also.
Okay, how about the F-stop?
He's asking about the F-stop on the lens. Waiting for the word from the television experts here to be passed along to Al Shepard.
Is the F-stop satisfactory,
Houston? Al, this is Houston. See if you can stop it down a little more. Run it up, run the diaphragm ring up against the stop there. It's still a little bright.
There's some automatic light control circuitry in this camera, too, in addition.
Roger, stand by.
The thing that's brightest in the picture, of course, is Ed Mitchell's bright white suit.
I request you go to peak control.
This is some of the automatic circuitry in the camera now. Peak control.
Okay, going to peak.
Oops.
Satisfactory.
It became a bit darker when he switched to that mode.
Okay, Al, now we'd like to open it up
F-stop.
To F-22.
Yeah, go back to 22.
Open up the F-stop again there.
Okay, this is the attachment to F-22. There you go.
Roger.
We may end up adjusting our sets, too, on this end. So with that zoom lens, he can he has great latitude on the scope of his coverage there with this camera, doesn't he? We can see the gold foil covering shining brightly on the side of the lunar module. The light is coming to from the left of the picture. Ed Mitchell, bright white there, moving around the equipment storage assembly.
Confirm that you're at F-22 now.
Okay, I'm confirming that I'm at peak and that I'm at F-22.
waiting for another evaluation from the men in the back room there, I think, on the control of the color camera.
Seemed as though when he was opening up or closing down the f-stop initially, well, we could see that instantaneously on the television, but I didn't notice any significant change when he opened back up to F-22.
As he was stopping it down, I think it went past one of the... preceded some of that automatic voltage.
For the television adjustments, the 230 position, approximately 50 feet where the camera is slightly uphill. We see that the Lamb did, in fact, land on sort of a down slope.
Al, this is Houston.
Almost a basin. Go ahead.
Roger, Al, this is Houston. We'd like to go back to average and F-44, stop it down all the way, and then leave it there.
F-44? That's
okay.
Really a small aperture. All of this adjustment with that camera will be of immense assistance to all of us on Earth in watching once the adjustment is made properly.
Yeah, that looks better.
Yeah.
Okay, pressing on. F-band antenna.
Roger, press.
Again, continuing, the soil is really fine here. Very fine grain. And as we mentioned before, there are very few samples that have any size at all. Mostly hand sample size and rocks of generally 1 to 2 inches or less.
That was Shepard's voice, I believe, describing the surface.
You can see the SRC table is deployed. EB is emptied, and I'm putting the lyo temperatures in it now.
Roger, Ed, and you did leave the contingency sample on the ladder.
That's affirmative, that's where it is.
Now, in about 15 or 20 minutes, Ed Mitchell will go back up the ladder into the lunar module, and he'll take this contingency sample with him. And then after he gets up into the lunar module, they'll use that clothesline assembly to send down from the cockpit some cameras, and then they'll send back up into the cockpit some of the equipment that was stored in the MESA or modular equipment storage assembly.
Sample is being taken about 25 feet to the 0-100 position of the limb, adjacent to about a 5-foot crater. I'll identify it for you later.
Roger that.
So Mitchell does have that sample now. Do you recall, Buzz, what tools or equipment they're taking back inside for the moment?
Yes, it'll be some batteries and some lithium hydroxide canisters for the second EVA.
They're stored in one of the bays in the descent stage, apparently.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they didn't want to have this extra weight inside the ascent stage because it's fairly close to the critical stage if they had to abort before landing. In other words, they have the backpacks in there on landing, and they won't have the backpacks in there when they make their ascent from the lunar surface if they complete everything and are able to jettison these.
It was better for the extra weight to be in the descent stage.
Right, so they put that...
In view of an abort.
Right.
I presume that rule was the same on your mission.
Yes, but we didn't have a second EVA, so we didn't really need to have that weight put down in the MESA. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it looks as though we landed in a fairly rough place.
Yes, indeed it does. Evidence by the fact you bet your front landing gear into a hole.
They've apparently landed in a fairly rough place, a comment from Al. Buzz, were there any little holes and craters around the touchdown spot for Apollo 11 touchdown?
Yes, there were several. There was one off to the left front of where we landed. It was sort of a double crater, maybe 2 or 3 feet deep and 6, 7 feet across.
Mm-hmm. You had some smoother terrain, I gather, from the comments so far than Shepard and Mitchell have had.
Yes, well, this looks quite similar from what I can see on the television. The little craters don't appear to be quite as rounded and smoothed over as the ones that we saw.
Mm-hmm. We can see in our color TV monitor.
See the dust that his boots are kicking up?
Sure does. That's the thing that eventually turns them black, isn't it?
Right.
Let me see them, please.
Roger that. 114 plus 53 plus 48 GET.
Did you catch that?
SWC.
Yes, this is SWC. That's a solar wind collector Ed Mitchell, off to the right, been deployed.
By Ed Mitchell.
That's the window shade-like device.
Right.
The silver-colored. Ed's hopping back. All of you learned that very quickly, I believe.
It comes quite naturally.
Instead of trying to move the stiff suit, you can do a little rabbit hop sort of exercise, can't you?
And you can see the slow motion effect that I talked about earlier,
mm-hmm.
where it takes a good bit longer once you're up into the vacuum instead of the air. It takes a little longer for you to come back down to the surface.
That must be a delightful feeling. I think I would like it very much.
Well, there's quite a sense of freedom that you have. And especially in standing and leaning to one side, as you approach the point where you might start to fall over, well, it's very easy to just hop up and catch yourself before you lose your balance.
Buzz, did either you or Neo fall down and have to pop yourselves back up?
No.
Pete and Al had that problem.
Well, it wasn't a problem. They were doing a good bit more extensive collection than we had the opportunity to do.
Mm-hmm. So, the solar wind experiment has been deployed to the south of the...
You see the legs module. Coming down now on the S-band antenna as it's being deployed. I think he's already got the top horn pulled out.
Al Shepard deploying the S-band antenna legs at this time.
Now he's lifting it up.
Is this aimed by hand, just by sighting by the commander?
Yes, there's a little periscope that you can sight through for a final adjustment. The initial adjustment is obtained just by pointing it up by eyeball, so to speak.
If you would, give us some commentary on how the legs go into the surface.
Question from Earth about that deployment of those legs.
Legs are in the surface approximately 1 inch, I would say. Appear to be nearly equal all the way around. Perhaps the leg to the left is in an inch and a half.
That means that material is rather firm just under the surface.
Strangely, it's very loose right on the surface, the first inch or so, but it picks up a rather...
Force penetration and did you make any rocks or anything like that?
I didn't attempt to run any kind of an experiment.
Roger, I copy.
Forcing the legs down, I just...
All of these activities progress right through a timeline, well rehearsed many times.
Position the antenna legs into the lunar surface.
It's been 38 minutes since depressurization now. Ed Mitchell is hopping out.
Now you're too far away.
It does look like a kangaroo rocket. And the dust kicking up, as you mentioned, Bill.
Yeah, either the antenna is too far away from the spacecraft or Ed didn't get all the antenna cable out.
Maximum length. I'm moving on in. That's better. Let's see. Yeah, I want to do that too. This is old. Okay, we'll bring it in.
Yeah, I'm going to have to move the antenna tripod in just a little closer. It's farther out than the cable. They adjusted extremely fast to the method of moving around.
Yes, they certainly did. Ed seems to be enjoying his movement around the moon quite a bit.
Okay, can you reach that? Oh, yeah. Okay, if you want to stand clear, we'll play the antenna.
Set her up.
They've moved the antenna a bit closer to the limb. We can see all of this. There it goes. It's like an umbrella opening up in reverse. It has a gold color to it, the S-band antenna.
Looks like there was some difficulty in the deployment of the antenna itself, and he's going to tip it over now so that Ed can...
Is that quite light?
Untangle it. Well, it is quite light, but of course it's a good bit lighter on the surface of the moon than it is here on Earth. There, he's freed it.
All kinds of freebies in today's simulation.
Roger, we got the boys in the back room working overtime.
The antenna pops out like an upside down umbrella.
I see our minds get in the same mode of operation for description here. I don't know what an astronaut would say, but that's an upside-down umbrella to we Earthlings.
Right. Sure looks like it. Now, since they landed slightly to the east, as you look from the moon back to the Earth, if you look straight up, you'd be looking not at the Earth. You'd have to look a little bit back to the left. Mm-hmm. That's why we're going to see this antenna tilted back just a little bit from vertical.
I see. If they were... on the lunar equator itself, it would be straight out all the time, wouldn't it? That same thing.
Well, if they were on the lunar equator and on the zero longitude line, it was right in the center, they would point straight up to reach the Earth. Since they're near the equator and slightly to the east, mm-hmm. They're going to have to tilt it back. See, he's tilting it back some. Now, we landed to the other side of the zero longitude, so the Earth was off to the right.
And you tilted it the other direction, too.
Well, we didn't have an S-band antenna. Oh. Take
that
to the left a little more. The way to it, because that changes the whole deal.
Now, when that signal is...
giving an eyeball alignment towards Earth.
I don't see it now. I'll just put it back down again.
Both astronauts are working with the antenna aiming.
Okay. I think my OPS is hitting it. All right, just a second. Let me back it off and just go just a little bit.
All of you have been quite surprised at the length of time that the pluses will work, haven't you? Yeah.
Well, it's a considerable improvement over the equipment that we were using in the Gemini program. Now, as soon as they get the antenna deployed, Ed is going to go back up and change the position of some switches so that the signals sent back here to the Earth will then go through this erectable antenna instead of through the antenna on the spacecraft.
And I'm predicting that we're going to have a clearer signal that will considerably amplify the transmission strength from the moon, I believe.
Well, that same thought was going through my mind, but we'll see.
Let's hope.
The antenna has been erected and aligned, and the cable has been attached. And it'll go back in the switch.
Roger, Ed.
Mitchell is to go back in. There he goes, kangaroo hopping across the surface.
And we'd like to get an AMU status report as you go by.
Okay, the CDR is reading 3.75, reading 7.6 on the O2. I have no flags. I'm still a minimum flow and I'm comfortable.
Okay, this is Ed. I'm reading 3.75, about 75% the O2. No flags. Minimum cooling and I'm very comfortable too.
Roger, out.
There's Ed Mitchell now. He's going back up the ladder inside the limb to go inside the limb.
And then his contingency sample into the ETB.
A contingency sample in the equipment transfer bag. And just as Buzz told you earlier, when he's inside, he will throw the switches so that the signal will be improved, so that the communications with Earth is through the S-band antenna.
And following this, well, we'll transfer equipment back and forth, and then I think there's a flag deployment.
45 minutes since cabin depress.
And then we'll get on into the Apollo Lunar Surface Experiment Package deployment.
The ALSEP.
The ALSEP.
Buzz, I want to thank you very much for being with us this morning and helping us explain what's happening on the moon, and we couldn't have had it from a more articulate spokesman, a man who's been there, astronaut Buzz Aldrin of Apollo 11. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you. If everything goes right, I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Okay, we'll be looking forward to having you with us to describe that excursion on the moon, Buzz.
Okay.
We have about one more minute in our special broadcast, and we'll tell you if that antenna gets switched before the ALSEP deployment. Okay, Ed Mitchell is back in the limb. Apollo 14 is now well into its first lunar excursion with astronauts Al Shepard and Ed Mitchell on the surface of the moon. And everything is well with the spacecraft. All of the equipment is functioning properly. Everything is working beautifully. They're running just a little late in their timeline. They initially were 50 minutes late depressurizing the cabin. I think they've made up some of that time during the first parts of the extravehicular activity. This is Rhett Turner reporting from Houston.
You're listening to the Voice of America's live coverage of the flight of Apollo 14. The astronauts now conducting their first extravehicular activity, setting up scientific experiments and collecting contingency samples, which they will also photograph and make records of throughout their traverse. We come to the close of this special Voice of America broadcast of the early stages of a planned four-hour moonwalk, the first of two scheduled for the Apollo 14 astronauts. We'll return to the air with a special worldwide network 2 hours from now at 17 hours 30 GMT for the closing hours of the first EVA. Our thanks to VOA correspondent Rhett Turner and astronaut Colonel Edwin Buzz Aldrin at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston for their account of the Apollo 14 astronauts' first lunar traverse. Now 115 hours, 7 minutes into the mission, the lunar module Antares with astronauts Shepard and Mitchell has been on the moon 6 hours and 12 minutes. This is Norman Guerin at the NASA News Center in Washington.